This podcast episode is brought to you by Paleo Valley's Organic Extra Virgin Olive Oil. Now, we all know that many olive oils are cut with seed oils or that they are rancid, and so it's not always easiest to find a quality and properly sourced olive oil. Yes, in case you didn't know, many store-bought olive oils are diluted or blended, compromising both taste and quality, and may even cause rancidity. I'm really glad that Paleo Valley's extra virgin olive oil remains pure and unadulterated, sourced from a single organic valley in Greece. Paleo Valley ensures freshness and nutrient content by packaging their olive oil in dark glass bottles. At a certain point, I stopped using extra virgin olive oil, but once our practice started working with people with chronic inflammatory response syndrome, or SIRS, we started recommending it for the reduction of TGF-beta-1. It is an immune system marker that shows inflammation both for COVID-19, SIRS, and actually many other illnesses. So if your TGF-beta-1 is high, you may want to try incorporating a little bit of extra virgin olive oil. Make sure to check it out. It comes in a 2-pack package. And remember, all Paleo Valley products are guaranteed with a money-back guarantee. Go to paleovalley.com/NWJ to get 15% off your order. Thanks for supporting companies that support this podcast. Hey guys, it's Judy from Nutrition with Judy. Thanks for joining me today. While you're here, please make sure to like and subscribe. If you're listening to this on podcast, please make sure to leave a review as this allows my content to get in front of more people. And thank you for that. My name is Judy Cho, and I'm board certified in holistic nutrition. And I have a private practice where we focus on root cause healing, and it often starts with the Carnivore Cures All Meat Elimination Diet. Today, I had the pleasure of sitting down with my longtime clients, Kelly Ann. Kelly's been working with me for on and off about 2 years, and we have always been trying to help her get to root cause healing. She's been carnivore for 5 years, maybe even longer than I've been carnivore. And she's literally tried everything. In this conversation, we talk about all the biohacks, all the diets, all the protocols, all the people she's worked with. No names are mentioned, but we talk about all the different people, different things, different meals, different foods that she's tried to try to get healing as she suffered from multiple sclerosis as well as Hashimoto's. She also struggled with a lot of histamines and MCAS, and she talks a lot about that and how ultimately she found root cause healing by finding the chronic inflammatory response syndrome illness and how so much of her life has improved since this diagnosis. It's not an easy diagnosis, but she'll share how for her it's been a game changer. Let's get right into the interview. Hey, Kelly, I'm super excited to have you join me. I'm really excited for people to hear your story, your journey on just healing, carnivore, SIRS, and everything in between. If you can introduce yourself to the people that are listening and watching, your stint with, I guess, keto and carnivore, and then also just how you've been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis as well as Hashimoto's.
Sure. My name's Kelly, and I live in Reno, Nevada. Nice to meet you guys. The main reason I wanted to come on today is, number one, because Judy asked me. I'm normally kind of shy, but I was like, you know what? I should come on and tell my story for all of the really, really sick people that were like me that couldn't find the answers, no matter what they did. Keto, carnivore, all of the biohacks, and nothing ended up working long-term in the end. So I wanted to come on here and tell my story and how I got to the diagnosis of SIRS.
So tell me a little bit about when did you get diagnosed with MS and then Hashimoto's, and then what made you find keto and how was that stint and then carnivore?
I was diagnosed, let's see, I'm 46 now. I was probably 35 years old when I was diagnosed with MS. And they think I probably had it before that. MRIs were showing I had, my brain was lighting up. They just said, oh, it's probably a reflection. And so they said, oh, you're good. It's probably nothing. But ended up being like, oh, okay, I probably had MS that whole time. So that's how my MS diagnosis first came through. And I've been on a health journey pretty much ever since, trying to find out, why does nothing work for me? Why can't I lose weight? Why is my body not like everybody else's? Like, medications wouldn't work for me. No circulation in my hands and my feet. Thyroid was always off. Chronic fatigue, never felt good. And histamine reactions all the time, which kept getting worse and worse and worse, which is what brought me to keto. And then keto didn't work for me, which brought me to carnivore. And I'm just like elimination, and feeling stuck and super sick and asking people for help, but nobody could come help me get to the root cause until I found Judy.
And then what about Hashimoto's? So did you get diagnosed prior to MS? And then what were the symptoms that made you even go down to check if you were having MS, or the brain scans at least?
I always had sort of a numb left hand, pain, weird things that would happen. But before I got diagnosed, I had no idea that I had that. I just knew I was sick and I didn't know why. And thyroid was actually before the MS. Okay. My thyroid has been screwed up for a really long time. And I went on T3s, and I was on those for like 12 years or something, because nothing else worked for me. Like the regular thyroid medicine didn't even touch my thyroid numbers. So my body was just kind of backwards. No medicine would work. I needed, for instance, to go to sleep at night, could take 16 Benadryl, and I would just get tired. That my body was so messed up. I was so desperate to sleep. I always thought it was, I didn't have control over my body. Like no matter what I did diet wise, it wouldn't do what I wanted it to do. And I always thought that is super weird. It doesn't make sense.
And then what happened with keto? So you went lower carb. Did you feel any benefits? And then the transition to carnivore?
I did feel some benefits with keto. My whole life, I've never been able to do dairy. So I was always dairy free.
Okay.
But histamine reactions got way worse. I couldn't get into ketosis no matter what I did. I did feel a little bit better just because I think I was eating cleaner and I would lose weight for sure. And then it would just come right back. But I didn't do anything different. Right. I was still keto. So it didn't make sense to me. It was like up and down and up and down. And I had no control no matter what I did, no matter how many calories I ate or how much I fasted or did biohacks. It would get better for a while and then get way worse. And there was just so many questions. I didn't know what was happening.
And then what made you transition to carnivore? And then what helped you to stay carnivore?
I transitioned to carnivore out of desperation. I was like, okay. I thought about it for a while and I was keto because I was like, this sounds insane. I don't know if I can do it. This is going to be really hard. But I'm like, you know what? I'm desperate. Let's do it. Let's eliminate everything. So maybe I can get some answers, right? So that's why I went carnivore. Finally, and I was getting sicker and sicker, and histamine reactions, terrible. Mm-hmm. I would just get like bright red face, hives, not feel well. And so I kept having to eat less and less things. For example, I could only eat grass-fed, grass-finished beef. One at a time, I couldn't do chicken. I couldn't do pork. I couldn't do any of the good things. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sick. What is happening? I even worked with a bunch of carnivores that were really smart, trying to get answers. And I would get answers for a short period of time. And then it would come back again. That's been my history. And nothing ever got rid of my histamine reactions until now.
And then what were your symptoms? So I know you talked about some of the numbness in your hand, the inability to lose weight, and then the poor sleep. And then also obviously the histamines. And that was a big thing for you. Was there anything else that when you say you just felt sicker and sicker, was there something else that you were going through? And I guess you mentioned also chronic fatigue, but
yeah, the chronic fatigue was a huge one. I mean, I couldn't even walk my dogs around the block in the end. And I think when I first met you, that's the point I was at. I was just like, the brain fog is so real. Judy knows. And yeah, I didn't have the energy to do anything. And I felt like I'm just getting sicker. There's nothing else I can take out of my diet.
I know from working with you, how long were you carnivore when I first met you?
Well, I think I've been working with you now for about 2 years. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think so.
So I was 3 years carnivore when I met you. Okay. I think it's been 5 now that I've been carnivore and carnivore-ish.
Right. And I remember you mentioning that when I first worked with you for 3 years, you tried doing like the carnivore harder. You've tried the different macros. You've literally worked with like every single maybe coach or like even the group programs. You've tried a lot of these things. You've done the low histamine diet. You've done strict carnivore where there's absolutely no sweeteners and none of it really fully worked. Like what were the emotions going through all of that? And you see that a lot nowadays where it's like you have to reduce the coffee and it's the coffee that's the issue, or it's that you're eating high fat or that you're eating low fat or you're eating too much protein.
The emotions where you start to feel crazy. you start to feel like I am some alien, that nothing is working for, and it's not normal. You're just like, what's wrong with me? And you do try everything. And it's not like I didn't do all of the things that they told me to do. I'm doing it very well and nothing is working. You feel insane. You work with all these really smart people and they were very kind and really wanted to get to the root cause. But just like me, they, in the end, that wasn't the answer.
Right. And you also told me that you're not also this type of person that just you try something for 1 week, but you also go all in and you try your best. So can you tell me like an example of maybe one lever you used, how you stuck to it for a while until you realized it just wasn't working? Hey guys, I'm excited to share that I'll be speaking at Hack Your Health by KetoCon May 31st through June 2nd. You can come by and say hi while I do a book signing or join me during the food addiction panel or the triumphs and troubleshooting on a carnivore diet panel on the main stage. Hack Your Health by KetoCon is the largest event in the US focused solely on the science and stories of tools to improve your health journey. As part of the conference, there are over 200 vendors and 70 speakers that include medical professionals, practitioners, coaches, and experts. I love this event because it's the largest community gathering of like-minded people. I guarantee you, you'll make at least one friend. Make sure to get your 3-day pass and use code NWJ50 to get $50 off your 3-day general admission pass. Go to hackyourhealth.com and get tickets today. It's an incredible experience you don't want to miss. And if you're at the conference, make sure to come by and say hello. Remember, use code NWJ50 to get $50 off your tickets.
Oh, well, the most extreme that I got was grass-fed, grass-finished beef only and water and salt. That's how extreme I got, which I did for quite a long time because it ended up that that's all I could eat.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the specific levers and if you can get into it. I know that, for example, right now there's a really big push in popularity for high-fat carnivore and people are tracking their ketones. And you did that though. You did that 2 years ago and it didn't work so well for you. Can you share a little bit about your experience? You don't have to mention names of who you've worked with, but if you could just kind of share what happened with you and ultimately what you decided to do.
So being so sick, I decided, well, maybe I should do this really high fat, low protein or lower protein for sure way of eating to make myself feel better. And track your ketones, your glucose, trying to get your numbers really low, your ketones high, glucose numbers low. It actually really messed me up, but I didn't realize it at the time. I just thought, well, it's probably part of the protocol. I was waking up at night with like an adrenaline rush because my glucose would get so low. It did make my ketones go high for sure. Mm-hmm. Did help my skin clear up for sure. But I just felt really sick. I couldn't sleep, getting up to pee at night, just all the things that make you sicker, like getting up, not getting good sleeps at night. That is not, you're not going to heal if you do that.
And I remember we had a session and you told me this is not working. And one of the things that the person you worked with also recommended was going on higher thyroid medications. And I think that also didn't work for you as well.
Yeah. The thyroid medicines were great. I think maybe I was going up too fast and then that combined with the no sleep and the feeling sicker and the not enough protein, my body just did not like it at all.
Right.
So for me, it didn't work.
Yeah. And I think the biggest complaint you had back then was that you just couldn't sleep and you were actually gaining weight. I think from what I remember, you had gained some weight on that.
Yes.
And so eventually we just decided to stop it because after several weeks, you just really were not sleeping. And it just got to a point where we needed to have you try something different. And then I think as soon as you started upping your protein, your sleep improved.
For sure. And then we started getting into like the gut protocol stuff, or was that before? I don't know. It's all confusing now.
So, and I know
it's a regular person.
And so, I mean, I'll quickly talk about the gut, because that part was working with me. But, you know, we did a little bit of gut stuff. It helped some, but it wasn't enough to move the full needle. So, I'll fully own that as well. And that's totally fine.
Right. And we didn't know about Sears at the time.
Right.
We didn't know. Poor Judy. I know if you haven't worked with Judy, she like loses sleep over your case if she can't figure out what the heck is wrong with you. And eventually figured out the SIRS. And anyways, that's ended up being my answer. But I worked with Judy for a long time. And while I got gut healing while working with Judy, we were both like, what else is wrong?
Not enough. You know? Right. Yeah. And that's exactly why I shifted my perspective too. Of I used to think an all meat elimination diet, the carnivore cures elimination diet, and then going stricter, eating grass finished only, eating the purest and cleanest of meats was the answer. And as people would do it long-term, even for you, even doing gut supports, it wasn't moving. It, of course, people saw improvements, but it wasn't enough to feel like I am finally regaining my health fully. And so that's when I started. It was enough of you and other clients to make me realize and challenge myself of, okay, this diet is amazing and it's amazing for everyone. And it might be the last puzzle piece for everyone or a lot of people, but it's not for everybody. And that's when I realized we need to dig deeper and find what else is it, because now we obviously have the food is dialed in and it's not the food that's the issue. So then if it's not the food, if it's not the gluten, lectins, everything else, not the oxalates, then what else is it? And that's how, you know, I ran into SIRS, but we'll talk about that in a second. I think there's other things you also tried. So you tried the low histamine diet and you even did a low leptin diet. If you can talk a little bit about both of those.
I definitely have been waking up with the sunrise and the sunset, watching, you know, get up and getting outside more every day, which I'm not saying don't do that. I still do that today. I still think that's healthy. I think that's just good for you, especially with MS. I need some sunshine in my life for sure. But yeah, I did that. All the biohacking, I have an Oura ring. I followed anybody that would give me a different point of view on healing if they were carnivore, for sure. I tried everything.
And then what about the low histamine? So did you just find certain meats, or was that when you were doing the grass finished beef?
Yeah, the low histamine would be the grass finished. Okay. Beef, which I actually, the low histamine, I'd say the carnivore is how I got to low histamine, where I just cut out all the vegetables because that's what was giving me histamines.
Okay.
And then after a while, then the meat started giving me histamines too. So my body was really screaming. It was like, we can't take anything. We're just trying to keep you alive right now. I swear to God.
And it's so interesting because I'll see people say the carnivore diet made me really sick with histamines or has triggered my MCAS and now I can't tolerate anything else. And I really think, I mean, even with your own experience, that maybe you're one step closer to finding what your root cause is. And that's why now your body's even saying that it doesn't like certain meats. One thing that SIRS does, or chronic inflammatory response syndrome does, is there's a marker called C4a. And when that is triggered and high, which for a lot of people that has a SIRS diagnosis, that marker is high. It's a blood work. And that marker triggers MCAS to then release histamine responses. And so then you'll feel it with a lot of the foods you eat. So I have just, from all the things I've learned and studied with the whole SIRS and Shoemaker protocol, MCAS and histamines is never the root cause, or rarely ever the root cause. Can you speak to your experience a little bit about that?
My whole goal was always to dig deeper. Mm-hmm. Like, this doesn't work. Check it off the list. Like, we need to find the root cause. And I remember you were always talking about root cause. And that's why I hired you. I'm like, you know what? I'm hiring Judy right now. She's going to find my root cause finally. And then even with us, it took a while to learn what the heck was going on. But yeah, it goes so much deeper. Like the sick carnivores that are looking for answers, I don't think anymore that it's in a biohack. There's no reason that your body just can't handle vegetables or can't handle meats and keeps getting worse and worse. I think the reason for that for me is SIRS. And that was my answer. And I only know that it was SIRS now because I can eat whatever vegetable I want now. I can eat dairy. And I've never been able to eat dairy in my whole life. Like, these things are happening and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is actually my problem. Finally, like I have some control and I'm actually healing, not healing just for a little bit and then getting worse.
And then are you,
and I'm not even done with my SIRS protocol. So,
and then are you eating the whole rainbow of meats now? Are you able to just,
oh yeah, them? I'm okay. Eating whatever I want. And I mean, whatever I want. I had a sweet potato yesterday. I've tried all the vegetables just because, you know me, I'm like, you know, today's the day I'm going to be able to eat everything. And so, of course, I'm testing it all the time and nothing is giving me reactions.
That's amazing. So do you stick to grass finished only, or are you able to eat?
No. All Costco is my favorite. it tastes so good and fatty. Like, right. It definitely tastes better. Now, just because I want to be a better human, I do have a whole cow in my freezer that's grass fed, grass finished, local farmer, all of that. And it tastes great. So I do both.
But you can tolerate all the conventional.
I can eat whatever, right? I want now. I had a Costco steak that was in the freezer yesterday.
And then you, I know you did a stint at low oxalates, you know, or at least following the protocol because maybe you are oxalate dumping. Can you speak to that a little bit?
In the beginning, for sure, when I went stripped carnivore in the beginning and I was just doing, you know, ribeyes, I was on all the forums and everything that would happen to me there, everybody's answer was always, oh, that's oxalate dumping. And so in the beginning, that makes sense. Because I did see some things that probably were a little bit of oxalate dumping. But after you're carnivore for a really long time, I'm like, I don't think that's oxalate dumping. I think I'm sicker and I just haven't found my root cause.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities to oxalate dumping and SIRS. And I think that after a certain point, if you're not getting better with a low oxalate diet, I do believe that people should consider SIRS because there is so much overlap. And and it's all related to mitochondrial health and immune function. And SIRS is the same thing because at the core of it, your immune system is inflamed because there's these biotoxins in your body that it cannot get rid of. In the end, it affects your brain function and it affects your mitochondria. And that's why most people that have chronic inflammatory response syndrome, one of the main symptoms is chronic fatigue. And so there's a lot of overlap. And so I do think there are some people that suffer from oxalate dumping. I've seen it when I was eating high spinach. I see it in my urine. I do also think that there may be people that are going down the oxalate rabbit hole that is not suffering from oxalates and that it's actually chronic inflammatory response syndrome. I think there's a lot of those people, especially if you've been carnivore for a long time and the needle is not moving by adding calcium, by all doing all the other things in the low oxalate protocol that I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And for some, maybe that's your answer, but for long-term carnivores, you're still not healing and getting worse because histamines are getting worse. I think that's probably not your problem.
And then what about hormones? So I know, you know, obviously with SIRS, we got to do a little bit of DHEA, but maybe you could talk about your experience with DHEA and then progesterone, estrogen, if you've ever supplemented with any of those exogenous hormones.
Sure. I have always thought my hormones are really screwed up. I never felt normal. I've tried to take hormones, so DHEA, which made me feel super crazy. My poor husband, it made me feel like stabbing him half the time. It's only now, actually, that I can take DHEA and my body's tolerating it. But until I dealt with the SIRS, hormones, forget it. I've tried progesterone, also made me feel super crazy. I think just progesterone and DHEA were the main things because my testosterone has always been almost nothing.
Okay. Yeah. I was just about to bring up testosterone. So for a lot of people with chronic inflammatory response syndrome, one of the things it affects adversely is the androgen hormones, which is basically your testosterone. So there's a lot of people that when they will tell me, oh, I have really low T as a female. And so their provider will put them on DHEA or some other types of sexual hormones in order to try to raise that T. And then eventually they got on high T or T medications. But oftentimes the low T, it's just like, why is it low again? And, you know, we have a mutual person that we know that had low T and then they eventually tested for SIRS and they had SIRS. And now I think things are getting a little bit more regulated. But again, it goes back to if you have low hormones and your diet is good and you've done all the biohacks and everything, and if it's still low and you know you're not under eating, you know you're not really eating bad for most of the days, then why is it low? And you're sleeping decently. And that's where I think when people start going, well, our modern lifestyle is just too hard for us, so now I need to supplement. I don't think that's the answer. I think there's always something underlying. I mean, my sleep is wonky in the sense that some days I sleep really early and some days I sleep really late, but my hormones are generally balanced, as much as that's the modern lifestyle is not ideal for the way I'm sleeping. But it's not enough for me to not, my hormones to be all tanked. So therefore, I don't think I have a root cause issue. Whereas we have a lot of clients where their hormones aren't balanced, but they've been carnivore for years and they're eating sufficiently. Yeah. So then it's at that point, it's just, we need to find something more deeper to figure out what is going on rather than, okay, well, I can't raise it. So I need to get on medication, because that's normally the answer.
For sure. And then even if you do go on the medications, you're going to feel crazy just like I did because your body doesn't want that. It's like, no, maybe it's low for a reason. I don't know what's going on inside my body. It's just crazy right now. So, you know, when I was working with you back in the beginning, and I think it was like a year in, and you said, you know, you need to test for SIRS. I think that you probably have it. I thought you were crazy.
I know.
So I wanted to tell people the honest truth with SIRS, because I thought it was crazy when you used to tell me, and I put it off probably for 4 months when you kept telling me it's not another thing, Kelly. It's probably SIRS. Just go get tested. I was like, oh, I got to, you know, another blood test is going to cost so much money. And this whole SIRS thing sounds cuckoo. I was like, oh, okay. A building's making me sick. Sure. It sounds so crazy, but it was absolutely what was freaking wrong with me. And then I ended up being, you know, have multi-susceptibility. So, and I feel it now when I go into certain buildings, I can literally feel it making me sick.
Yeah. And I think long ago, before we had any type of testing, you were probably the person in the tribe or the community that would say, we can't go there. I feel sick. And so you are that healer in the community that could protect everyone else that wouldn't know that there was like imminent illness from either the water damaged building or like the whatever that they lived in or experienced. And I think it makes sense. And I get it. I mean, there are so many people that come to us that want to do, okay, my macros aren't working and I'm not sleeping well. My hormones are messed up and I just need some macro healing or gut healing. And then I'll be on my way. And then when we look at their case and we can see the trends now, even with the very little information sometimes people will share with us. And when we tell them that we think they may have SIRS or chronic inflammatory response syndrome, there are some people that don't want to hear it. And it's unfortunate.
It's hard to hear. But I mean, I'm thinking back with carnivores that I know were also very sick. And it's so funny looking back now, I'm like, oh my gosh, you probably have SIRS.
Before we get into like a fuller deep dive into SIRS, let's talk about any other biohacks. So let me just look really quickly. So you used to do like low fat, high protein. So you did some of that protein sparing modified fast. You did the 48-hour fast. You did like the fruit and honey. You've even tried more of the exercise for biohacks. You did the sunrise, sauna, you know, going to sleep early, following that circadian rhythm. I mean, I know you eat breakfast and your body feels good, but that was another biohack at the time. And all of that is really good. And as you said, you also did the Oura Ring. You try to protect yourself from EMFs. The whole point is that all of that just didn't move the needle enough for you.
Yes, for sure. I even fasted. I fasted a lot. I mean, at one time I was fasting for 48 hours, 2 days a week, every week. And while I would get skinnier, I looked sicker.
Sure.
I looked a lot sicker and still wasn't losing weight like I should have if I wasn't eating, you know, right. Like it didn't make sense.
Did you ever feel like you were wrong? Like, or that maybe you're eating in the communities? Did anyone ever say, well, maybe you're overeating or maybe something's wrong with you that you're not doing it right?
Well, I always felt like people were looking at me like, oh, well, you're probably not doing the diet behind closed doors. You're probably, you know, eating cake, you know, and Twinkies behind the scenes. That's why it's really not working. I always felt like that. Mm-hmm. I like nobody ever said that to me, but there was always because my body didn't make sense. So of course I would think that too. I'd be like, well, you're probably not truly being a carnivore right now, or you're probably doing this or that, which wasn't my case. So that's why it was so frustrating. And that's why even I used to tell Judy, I'm like, I swear to God, I'm a really good patient. I'm doing everything you said.
And I know that one of the biggest things is, so let's just talk about chronic inflammatory response syndrome. For people that don't know what this illness is, I've talked about it a bunch of times. I've had Dr. Shoemaker on, I've had Dr. Dornegger on, and depending on when this releases, Dr. Pegg was also on my channel. Basically, it's when there is a subset of the population that cannot remove certain biotoxins, including mold, from the body. So it's about 25% of the population at whole. And I know there are people outside of the US because we get contacted all the time. So within that population, if you think about the carnivore community, there are people that try to biohack. And so they're like, I want to live forever. And so I'm going to try the carnivore diet. Maybe people that like Joe Rogan will bring in and usher people like that. That's not the community we're talking about. Essentially, the people that come to carnivore because they are struggling with an autoimmune, they are really sick. Standard care has not done right for them. And so they're just desperate enough to try food for healing because they've tried AIP, they've tried keto, they've done everything, and it hasn't moved the needle enough. And so they landed in carnivore. I really believe that the percentage of SIRS people in that community is way greater than the 25%. I think I spoke with one SIRS medical provider, and he said to me, the fact that the carnivore community has to look for answers and even try to biohack with food, it's likely there's a deeper set root cause issue. And so you find a little bit of healing with food for a while. And obviously everyone needs to get off processed foods and packaged foods and seed oils and et cetera. But if you're eating mostly meat or even some vegetables and you're not fully better, then it's not just that the diet's not perfect enough. And that's something that was very eye-opening for me for this whole SIRS protocol, is actually there's just something more underlying that's the issue. And I know that when I started sharing this, it's difficult because the tests, I mean, a lot of the markers, even for me, it's like $100-something just for one marker to test. Mm-hmm. So then when you sell it as a package, it looks like, yes, I'm making a lot of money, but I'm really not with the markers. It goes to LabCorp, so thank them. But it's very expensive. And I know for you, that was one of the big hindrances because it seemed like a crazy illness. And then it was very expensive. Can you talk a little bit about that?
For sure. With my finances, Judy's like, well, the tests will probably cost about $1,000. I was just like, $1,000? Like, that is a lot of money. Like, I don't think I can afford that. And then I was thinking in my head, well, you know, what if I don't have it? And it's like, what is this, a 50-50 shot, you know, and I'm going to throw away $1,000. My husband had to come to me and say, has Judy been wrong at all this time? And I was like, no. And he's like, well, get tested. I'll give you the money. And I'm like, okay. So my husband had to like convince me. And then of course, tests come back. And you were like, well, yeah, you have SIRS.
So then what does the journey look like? So can you tell me a little bit about if you could remember some of the symptoms? So I know for sure, we always struggled with some days you would be able to tolerate certain meats and then maybe you try to add back berries and then you would react. And so if you went to a restaurant, you would have a reaction, a histamine response. And so we'd kind of have to step back and dial in your dial a little bit more. So what has happened since starting the SIRS protocol and maybe some of the changes that you've experienced?
Since starting the SIRS protocol, at first when we started, seemed like this is going to be a really long process, because I think you said, well, it'll probably be about a year until you fully heal. But after I had the blood work and proof that I actually had it, I was like, okay, I can do a year. I've been sick for so long. Let's do it. So I started on the medicine. I think it was about a month and a half into the protocol that I started to see little changes. So I started to see circulation in my hands and feet, which I've never had. They're always freezing. Mm-hmm. Now they're not freezing anymore, which is a good sign. I started to be able to walk around the block with my dogs again without, you know, being so unbelievably tired that sounded like a marathon to me. I stopped waking up at night and going pee, getting better sleeps, better deep sleep.
Oh yeah. Share about your deep sleep, the numbers. I remember a long time ago from your Oura Ring, your deep sleep wasn't so great. And now it's pretty remarkable.
So my deep sleep has gone from like half hour, 45 minutes to most nights, 2 hours and some even three. Like that's the best that I've gotten. I think I've gotten that like five times now. That's like my best numbers. So I'm pretty proud. Yeah. So sleep has gotten way better. One weird thing I had that I didn't know was a symptom was these terrible thoughts in my head that I couldn't shut off. I couldn't shut them off at night. And it was like this vicious cycle that affected everything. And you kind of feel like you're going a little bit crazy. That, though, when I have some mold exposure, I feel coming back a little bit, but it's mostly gone, which was a huge symptom for me. And things like little problems in life that people would think were nothing were huge to me. And I would just totally stress over them. And, oh, what am I going to do about this? And I don't feel like that anymore. And that's a big thing.
It is.
Like for depression, for just enjoying your everyday life. And I would have this really stupid thing for my whole life. I have been terrified of moths for so dumb, Judy. I mean, I look back on it, but it was real. I felt like they were going to kill me or something. Like I slept in my car because there was a moth in my house. That's how bad it was. Like insane. So I had things like that. So my brain was suffering, obviously.
And I remember you mentioned that you could never sweat on your own before.
Oh no, I've never been able to sweat until now. That's another thing that I knew. Hey, I'm sweating on my own now, like a regular person.
And your skin.
Yes, for sure. And I'm able to tolerate heat, which I could not tolerate at all. I used to think it was an MS problem, but it wasn't. It was thirst. Now I'm wondering, like, how many problems have I had in the past that weren't what I thought they were?
Right. One of the things about SIRS is that a lot of autoimmune illness, actually, the underlying reason may be SIRS. So obviously, if gut function has so much to do with autoimmune illness. You have foods and other toxins that come into your bloodstream, and then your body tags it incorrectly, and then it causes a lot of that autoimmune illness. Although it's not in the peer-reviewed research and literature, from my understanding from the SIRS providers, they believe that 98% of autoimmune illness actually is SIRS, and that, right, it's very high. And then for hypothyroid, it's 50-50. Unless you have Hashimoto's, then it's the 98%. So I think if you are carnivore and you struggle with an autoimmune, and there's people in your family that struggle with autoimmune, and you have been doing a relatively clean carnivore diet, it doesn't need to be picture perfect, doesn't need to have all the seasonings removed. It doesn't need to require all the coffee gone or the sweeteners gone. I think it's as long as you're pretty consistent with your diet, meaning there's not a lot of gluten and things like that, and you have an autoimmune and you're not fully getting better, I think that SIRS is an option.
Now, was there, could people do a cheaper test just to see if they have it first? And then if you do have it, then get all the other tests? Like, is that possible?
Yeah. So we sell a mini version. The problem is that, well, I guess if you work with the medical provider, then they will give you the full gamut of tests. But sometimes what we found is since the medical tests or the mini tests only test for a certain amount of markers, you have to have four of the markers be positive for you to be officially diagnosed as SIRS. So the risk is with less markers, there's a risk of, well, maybe you have three now, but now do you have it? Like, do you have to do more testing? But if you have three and you failed the vision test, and we should talk about the vision test, you most likely have it. So that's where, and I just think, well, this is what I'll say, of all the people that I've ever tested, and obviously this test is so expensive, but every single person that has tested is positive. There is not a single person. And I know that then makes you wonder, well, then is everyone positive? And we've tested people in my family that are not positive. So, and other people in our clientele that they tested their significant other and they don't also have it. So,
well, it makes sense because people that come to you are sick. Like they're looking for answers, right? And probably carnivore, which means you've made some pretty big decisions about finding out what's wrong with you. So they're sick. Yeah.
So let's talk about the vision test. So one thing that also made you hesitate about SIRS was that you said you didn't fall into the symptom clusters, which is one of the indicators is that this illness is a multi-system, multi-symptom, meaning that many organs or functions will get affected, and you'll have multiple types of symptoms. So fatigue, chronic joint pain, brain fog, memory word, and peeing through the night. But then there's so many different kinds. And then there's a lot of people that'll say, well, carnivore fixed a lot of that for me, so now I no longer suffer. Or like you said, it doesn't fit you perfectly. And so then it makes you doubt, well, then maybe this isn't me.
Yeah. In the beginning, when I looked at the symptom cluster things, I had already been carnivore for years. So half of those things didn't make sense for me anymore, because I guess I'd already taken care of those things where if I was on standard American diet, I would have failed all of it, right? So that's the difference for those. And the vision test sounded so crazy to me in the beginning, and it still sounds a little crazy, but it totally works for me. And I think my first score was unbelievably horrible. I thought the whole test was tricking me the whole time because it just looked blank.
Oh, okay.
Which is why I failed so miserably in the beginning. But that's how many biotoxins I had in my body, and it was affecting my vision.
Yeah. So just for the people that don't know what the vision test is, that's probably the first step that our team really recommends for everyone is, if you think you're suffering from SIRS, the first test you can take is the vision test. Now, there is a chance that you can pass the test and still have SIRS. There are people in our community that have passed the test and then they got tested later and they had SIRS. So, but majority of people, if they have SIRS, will not pass, and then they'll fall into the symptom clusters. The vision test is like $15. So you could do it from the comfort of your home. And what's happening is, since your brain is very inflamed with the biotoxins, it will start using less of the capabilities. And so one of the things that it will start diminishing is the ability to see contrast in colors. So it's very slight amounts of colors, and it's the test basically is, you click a button if you think you saw the lines. And if you don't see anything, you don't click anything. And what our brain tries to do is, it allows us to survive another day. So even if we don't see the slight contrast, you can still see pretty well. And so for us, we don't see that vision difference. But on this test, it's shown that whenever people aren't able to see this vision, the visual acuity, there's an indication that there's something going on with the brain.
Yeah. So that vision test was how I originally started before we did the blood test. I know. And you kept telling me, yeah, you failed that. You failed it. But my brain fog was so severe in the beginning. I didn't understand half of what you said, really. I was just like, oh, okay. You know, I'll get it eventually. I don't know.
So what do you recommend for people? Because that is a very common thing. I purposely make the results very comprehensive. And I know that's like a struggle. So if you struggle with brain fog, how do you handle the comprehension, but or the level of, I guess, detail? But I also try to do that to save on the cost of doing a session with me, so that you have all the information. If maybe your partner or somebody can explain what it's saying, if you read it, and then all the links for additional support, then you don't have to use the money to do a session with me, because I know there's future costs coming up. And that's why I do it. But in your shoes, when this already sounds overwhelming of, oh my gosh, can my house be affecting me? Wait, I have been exposed to mold in my past. I have been exposed to Lyme. I have been exposed to Epstein-Barr virus or a recluse spider bite or a tick bite. And now I have to worry about my home. It's actually possibly making me sick. I have a basement, all of these things. And that gets really overwhelming to even think, how am I going to tell my husband or my loved one about this? So how, you know, for somebody that was you back then, how do you have people understand you? And then we'll start with that.
Sure. It was in the beginning, it sounded like a nightmare for me, because I couldn't comprehend all of the things that I might have to do and understand. And where do I start? What do I do? And how do I tell my husband, you know, who in the beginning thought I was crazy too. Like, it was like, I really need your support. Like, mold is probably killing me, and here's what I need to do. So I would literally print out all of your instructions and have him help me with it, and do just one thing at a time, because that's all you can do. And it gets easier. I promise it gets easier. As you go along, you learn the Shoemaker protocol. You do this step, cross it off, and you do the next one. And that's all you can do, is take it one step at a time. And I know it's, for me, it was too, telling my husband that we need to remediate the kitchen because I saw mold in there and I can't heal if there's mold in the house. That was terrible for me. And luckily enough, he could do it himself. But if I didn't have that and someone's like, oh, hey, you got to spend $10,000 to do this, I don't know what I would do. Like, that's scary. Looking back now, it doesn't seem as scary, but it was at the time because it's a lot. But I promise you, if you dive into this and do all the things you're supposed to do, your life will get so much better. It will get so much better and you will finally heal and your body just won't freak out all the time. It's going to be normal.
Yeah, it is overwhelming to think that, okay, so not only is it that I need to take some types of medication and their prescription medications that will help me get better, but I have to also now protect the environment that I'm ever exposed to. And that just seems like a very daunting thing. But we've seen people improve with not the most perfect score. Now you do need to remediate if there's mold in the home. Eventually, it can get people that don't even have CERSIC. There's enough evidence that shows that. The one reason we use the Shoemaker protocol, it's especially with mold, is because it's the only peer-reviewed evidence-based research that has, you know, papers written and studies done on it. There's no other mold research that does that. There's a lot of people that sell binders. And I mean, I even sell the CellCore products and they can help in, I guess there's certain situations, but I don't believe the CellCore products alone can fix you, especially if you have the biotoxin and you don't have the right charge to help pull the toxins from your body. You will feel a little bit better because it might pull like heavy metals and other things, and it'll help you detox and it's going to have you look at light and all of these things. But I don't think it'll move the needle enough. So you'll feel better for a while. And then you'll have to find another protocol to help you get back to that level of healing. And so it's always, like I told you, Kelly, I hate sharing this information with my clients because I feel like I'm the bearer of bad news, but I also want you guys to heal and for the long term that you can get your life back and not have to worry about, well, now what do I do? Because now carnivore is not working, or now this supplement that I was taking is not working. And now I'm back to having histamines and now I have to go back to eating just grass finished and it's starting at square one when it takes like these super small baby steps. But now that we know that SERS is one, and there's other things. It could also be Lyme as a separate thing, for example, or heavy metals. But once we find the root cause, you don't have to be as meticulous with healing. And that's the big reason I wanted you on, because you did all the biohacks, like every single biohack you could think of. You've done all the diets. You've worked with all the people. And you've been carnivore for 5 years, and none of it was enough, including my gut support protocol. It wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And so you found SERS, I feel that your life has changed a lot.
So much. And that's why I wanted to come on today. And, you know, normally I never do a podcast because I don't know. I get nervous. And I don't know. I'm just regular gal over here. But I've seen so many changes that I want you to not waste your time. I want you to not do what I did. I want you to not carnivore harder. I want you to get to root cause. And I'm just want to tell you how to do it. It's so much deeper than just diet.
Right.
Like you would do so well with the Shoemaker protocol if you just get that test and start on your journey. Get the blood test. If you're positive, work with Judy and do the Shoemaker protocol and heal yourself.
And people don't even have to work with me. Like, this is not a sales pitch, by the way. Like, it genuinely is.
Yeah, no, I'm not making any money. And I know Judy is amazing with that stuff. And she's always like, oh, I don't want to take your money. I mean, she's just like that. I'm just like, lady, you saved my life. I know.
And you put in the work.
Never rip anybody off. Like,
thank you.
Yeah. So, and in fact, you actually move people on to other doctors so you don't take their money. So she will do what's best for you.
Yeah, because I mean, although I'm certified under Shoemaker, I can't prescribe the medication. So I will have to have you move on to a different provider, but I can give you the second opinion. I can give you, because I've seen so many people go through the protocol with different providers and I'm like, oh, well, that's weird that provider's making you do that because here's my experience. And then same thing with the IEPs for the home remediation. So I can be that secondary advocate. And I also know all these providers since we're part of the same community being certified under Shoemaker. And I could be a sense of resources, but you don't have to go through me. That's the whole thing. But I do highly recommend going through people that are certified under the Shoemaker protocol, because there was this one client, for example, he tested SERS with me. He was positive. And I told him, you need to go see a SERS provider. I gave him a list of people that he could use. He ended up going to a local provider that was a mold specialist. And then the doctor said, as long as your home is clean, you're good. You'll be fine. And so he never went on cholestyramine or well call. And he said, I feel better, but for sure you'll feel better because you have no more biotoxins coming in. So absolutely, right. You're going to feel better. But
you can't get them out.
Right. So then I told him, okay, so I still recommend that you work with a shoemaker a doctor, but if you feel better, I will totally honor that. But if you ever have an issue, let me know. 3 months later, he emailed me and asked, can I do some blood work? And I have no idea the context. And I said, sure. And when he wrote back to me, his C4A was skyrocketed, meaning that he's in new exposure. Right. And he never again ever took a binder. So it's just, and that's where I'm saying he was so close. The provider was not the person to do the protocol. And then he has never done the proper shoemaker protocol. And I really hope he's gone and done it because moving was not enough. It was not enough.
For sure. And I really credit most of my healing with the shoemaker protocol because most of the healing was the medications.
Right.
And
the safe environment.
Sauna, getting out the toxins, all of that. And also when I started, let me just say this, I asked Judy, she's like, well, I'll recommend the providers. And I was like, that sounds really expensive. I don't think I can afford these shoemaker protocol people. Can I just work with you? And even though you didn't give me the prescriptions, I just got them on my own.
Sure.
And also I trusted you. I had been working with you for so long. I really didn't want to go to another doctor that I didn't trust. So I worked with Judy this whole time.
Well, thank you for that. But most people that I know of my clientele, they cannot find a provider that will either give them the cholestyramine or the VIP. So you are very lucky in that sense.
Totally so get it.
I just want to make sure you put that out there.
I'm telling you, I have like at least 3-4 different people that I've gotten prescriptions off to do this protocol. Okay. So not all one doctor, you know, I go to this doctor for this and this doctor for this.
Right. Okay.
I'm just that kind of person that will find it somehow.
So now that you've been healing and you know sort of what buildings affect you, so if you go into a new building, what do you do? So there's a lot of people that'll say, well, I need to travel or I want to go on vacation. I don't want this to hinder my life.
That is the most difficult part for me. And I know everybody with SIRS is different. So what might affect one person in a building might affect me more or vice versa. So I can only tell you my experience. And I personally tested every one of the buildings that I would normally go into separately to see how they affect me. And then I go home, I see how much chronic fatigue I have. I test the VCS and what are my biotoxin scores looking like? And that will tell me if that building I'm going to feel sick in or not. And most of the buildings make me feel sick. I've learned over this last 9 months that when I'm in a building that makes me feel sick, it takes me 3 days to start to feel better again. Mm-hmm. And that's using the binder, sauna, all the things. So it takes them about 3 days to start to feel normal again. And then some, I'm okay. So you just have to test them. For me, I have to test them. I started using masks, which definitely helped me. If I know this building affects me, like, oh, I'm going to go to Walmart, but I know that definitely affects me. I put the mask on and I'll be okay. As long as there's a good seal.
Sure.
So I learned little tricks and stuff like that, but I have a much easier life than most people that have to work in different buildings. Like I don't have that problem. Thank God. So that would really suck.
Yeah. So the recommendation I give when it comes to work buildings, I mean, school buildings are a little bit trickier and school buildings are just as bad with mold often because they've obviously had a leak sometime in their history and their buildings are normally old. But when it comes to office buildings, you can always see if there's a part of the building that's cleaner because you can always contain an area and make it a little less moldy than maybe the general area. Now, if you work in a cubicle, for example, you may just have to buy an air filter and see that most of the air that you're breathing in is purified through that air filter. I have one in the back, but I don't think you could see it. But I mean, there are little things you could do. But yes, long term, if you cannot heal in that office building you're working in, I know this is the hard pill to swallow, but there are people that have to change their job because, I mean, it's your health that's getting impacted. So at a certain point, that decision does need to get made. And I know it's tough.
That's the hardest part, especially thinking if it's your house that's making you sick. It's like, oh, okay, move. Oh, what? Like, where am I going to go? Like, and how do I know that building doesn't have mold in it? Like, going down these rabbit holes can seem very overwhelming, but just start at day one, because as your brain starts to heal and your body starts to heal, you start looking at things differently and things, your life seems more doable.
Right.
Even with this, even if you have to travel, even because now I have tools in my back pocket. Okay. So I went into a building and I was really affected. I can't get off the couch, super chronic fatigue, feel terrible. I'm going to go get my cholestyramine and get in the sauna. I'm going to get those toxins out and I'm going to feel better.
Right.
So now I have the tools and now I know how it feels also to be in a really bad building, because really for me, in the worst building I went into, 3 minutes after I walked in, I felt like somebody literally sucked all of the energy out of me and I was a zombie.
And they say that as you get closer to the, well, the Shoemaker protocol says that as you graduate from the protocol and you're on VIP, and you're not even on VIP yet, you're like right there, but you're not there yet. So that medication is supposed to help some of the master hormones that have declined through this whole, I guess, these little fires that we have in the body, because the immune system is trying to release some of the biotoxins, but it's not able to. And so when you take the VIP and you removed all the biotoxins coming out, so one, you're like clearing up all the biotoxins that are inside the body through the binder. So now you have no more, you have less coming in. And then now you're trying to modulate all the different markers that are imbalanced, like the TGF-beta, C4A, MSH. I know these are all alphabet letters, but essentially, you're trying to take out all these little fires that have been going on in your immune system for the longest time. And that's what every single step of the Shoemaker protocol then does. And then when you're ready for the VIP, so now it's just helping that like overall fatigue kind of just elevate up and you're improving. What you're really doing is you're telling the immune system, hey, you no longer have to be in attack mode. You can go back to being in surveillance mode. So where you can just be kind of cruising and protecting the body rather than I'm in this fight mode. And that's what essentially VIP is supposed to do. But when you're at the right time to do it. So all those fires have to be gone. Most of the biotoxins aren't coming in. And then when you get there, even if let's say you went into Walmart and your body, again, because it's pretty clean now, yes, if you feel that you've been affected, take the cholestyramine for a few days and then you move on with your life. Even if you get impacted by a little bit of mold, remember there's that bucket that your body's going to tolerate some before it starts showing illness. So once the body immune system is modulated and you're back at surveillance mode, you probably can tolerate a little bit more than you're even tolerating now. And so that's the whole beauty of the full Shoemaker protocol.
I'm so excited to get to VIP. So excited. Also, one thing I wanted to say is I've seen people with SIRS that aren't carnivore and they have a much harder time, time. So carnivore is pretty important.
Right. And that's the paper I'm trying to write right now with some of the SIRS provider we see a difference in some of the inflammatory markers with carnivore versus people that are doing a diet. And one of the biggest diets that Dr. Shoemaker recommends is a low amylose diet, which is a low sugar diet. So when you have SIRS and you're adding sugar in your diet, it doesn't matter if it's really like even high fruits or honey, it causes more inflammation in the body. And then it just causes some of these other inflammatory markers. It basically ignites them to do even bigger fires in the system. So that's where I think carnivore really helps people with SIRS, but long-term, it could cause it to be just a band-aid and not finding root cause. But eventually, I think that people that have SIRS that do carnivore long-term, their health starts to plateau. And so they don't feel as good. And that's when I think you may want to consider it. But you're exactly right. One thing I really want to touch upon before, you know, we wrap up is mindset has always been huge for you. So you've always had this positive mindset. Can you share a little bit about that? And even share just from your experience with SIRS carnivore people, the difference of the people that are super overwhelmed and now, you know, almost debilitated from this illness versus people that are like, this is it. I'm going to get better. I finally found my answers.
Yeah, I see this all the time. So you're starting carnivore, you're starting SIRS, and no matter what diet I've ever done, I've always gone into it knowing it was the answer. I never once had doubt in my mind, because I knew if I have doubt in my mind, it might not work. So having that mindset of this is it, like this is your answer. We're going to heal is so important. And a lot of people have a really tough time with that. And that's something that I have to work with all the time. It's not just like I was born, you know, just being positive. It's like you have to really work on it and know that it's actually going to help your health. I see it a lot of times with SIRS because it's so overwhelming. A lot of people don't really believe that it's going to work. And then, man, your healing's going to take a lot longer.
So what would you recommend for people? Do you try to learn the protocol yourself? I mean, what do you do to help support your body so that it's in a place of healing rather than a place of, you know, the stress state where then your immune function's lowered and your digestion is lower?
That's something you got to work on daily. And I think it's going to be different for everybody. But as soon as those negative thoughts would come into my head, I just kick them out. And I'm like, nope, that's just white noise. Get it out. You're going to heal. You're doing great. Look at all the good things you've done and make a list for yourself of everything you've healed, no matter how little it is. And those little things are going to turn into huge things in the end, and keep that positive attitude. And also joining a SIRS group also helped me for support and people that are dealing with the same things I was, because man, I had a million questions and you just feel really alone. If you don't have other people, they're like, oh yeah, no, I went through that. You're going to be fine. This is what's going to happen. This is what happened to me. This is how I did it. Really, really helps.
I know for you also, it's not like you just practiced on your own to be positive. You've also done therapy. You've done the hard work. You've done a lot of work on your mindset to make sure that your limbic system's in good place and that you can see the world positively. And I know you mentioned to me that when you have SIRS, you have such brain fog that it's really hard to understand, comprehend things. And then a lot of things become really overwhelming.
For sure. And one thing I'll say is I love getting therapy. I've done therapy for years, which has helped me so much with just your life in general and talking to someone, getting through your traumas, working through it. I'm a huge proponent of go get therapy. I think everybody needs, I don't know anybody that doesn't need therapy, right? For sure. That will definitely help you with your mindset. A couple of the big things with SIRS is number one, get tested. That's the first thing for sure. Number two, the biggest things would be try and get out of mold. You can heal only to a certain point if you don't get out of the mold. And just start your journey. Find out if you have it.
Yeah, because I know for you, it's changed your life.
Yeah, it was a total game changer. I feel like by the end of this, I'm going to be a different person. And that sounds so, so weird, but I'm going to be the person that I always knew I should have been, which for me is like just a normal person, but I've never been able to be normal. Yeah, you can heal. This journey's been amazing for me and I'm not even done yet. So maybe I'll come back on when I'm done just to tell you what happened.
I know you mentioned that a few of the symptoms may have been related to SIRS, but do you think that there's a chance that your MS can go into remission with SIRS?
You know what? I've always thought that, because now that I look back, when I needed a cane, I thought that's for sure MS, or like, you know, oh, my leg would hurt or something. I'd be like, oh, that's MS. Now that I know the symptoms of SIRS and where I was when these things happened, which was in terrible mold, terrible, terrible mold. And I remember smelling it at this really old house. And that's when I had a hard time walking. I don't think that was MS. And, you know, I didn't get new lesions, so I really don't think it was. I think that was SIRS. Cross my fingers.
Okay.
Who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, we'll have to definitely have you back and then just let us know what's going on. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey. I know it's not something that you naturally do, but I think it was such an important share. I think that there's a lot of information in carnivore that sometimes says you have to carnivore harder, or it's you're the reason you're not healing. You're not perfect enough. You're not good enough. And it's honestly, sometimes maybe it's just something deeper and you just didn't know about it. And I think your story is so incredible. And I think we just started talking about it because of what happened with Christina Applegate. So I just, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I know. And we look at her and we're like, oh my gosh, she has SIRS.
Right. Because she lived in water damaged buildings and talks about it in interviews. And also she's been diagnosed with MS, and I think she's had other health issues, but it's unfortunate. I hope that this illness can be just better known so that people can finally start getting to root cause healing. And then if we make a big enough stink about it, the building codes will change and we'll stop building our homes in a way that are so conducive for mold to even be spreading.
That would be amazing.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. I know that there's not a big place to find you, but if someone wanted to get in touch with you or anything, is there a place that they can reach you or should they join?
No, I've kind of gotten off all the social media stuff.
Good.
I don't know. Maybe I'll get back on it one day, but I am in a CERS group.
Okay. I'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah. I'm in a CERS group. So if you have any questions about CERS, ask away. No problem.
Okay. Well, thank you so much again. I think this will help so many people. It's just, your story is so incredible. But the thing is, I've worked with you for so long that I know that anyone can really heal this way. But, you know, you all, obviously, I have to give credit to you that you've done the hard work. You've always been curious. You are such a hard worker and have the desire to heal. And you truly believe you could get to root cause healing and optimal health. And I see it. And the way that you live your life that way, it just shows and why you're healing so quickly. So I just, again, a lot of it is you.
Thanks, Judy. You're the best.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me again today. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye. Bye, guys.
Okay, guys, thanks so much for joining me today. I hope that this conversation really helps you to understand that no matter how sick you are, no matter where you are in chronic illness, that you can actually find root cause healing and you can heal. I know that seems so skeptical when some people are so incredibly sick and you can only eat certain types of meats or do certain things or have to do certain biohacks to even feel a little better that day. If you haven't watched my content on Spoon Theory, I highly recommend that. The thing is, I only work with people that are very sick. And these people, they have tremendous healing when they find root cause. And that is exactly why I always advocate for root cause healing. It's not a gimmick. It's not this thing that I want to share. It's that people have the right and the ability to get to healing so that they can live a normal life. And for some of us, that comes so easy. We are blessed to have just a normal life where we eat just meat and we can heal. But there are some people that need more than that. And I hope that this conversation just provides you a possible lever to get there. Thank you, Kelly, for joining me. You are such a beacon of hope, and I really hope you understand that. And I really appreciate you. Okay, guys, you know the drill. Make sure to eat a lot of meat. Take care of your bodies because it is the only place you have to live. I will talk to you later. Bye, guys. Thanks for listening to the Nutrition with Judy podcast. If you liked what you heard today, please make sure to leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app so more listeners like you can find the show. If you want more practitioner care and support, head over to nutritionwithjudy.com/groups so you can get more real talk about carnivore, the environment, and root cause healing. You can also find my content on Nutrition with Judy's YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Make sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter and learn more about in-depth articles with infographics at nutritionwithjudy.com/articles. You can find my two books, Carnivore Cure and The Complete Carnivore Diet for Beginners, on carnivorecure.com and amazon.com. At the heart of Nutrition with Judy's practice, our mission lies with a deep, unwavering passion for service and community. We will continue to empower you to have the knowledge and tools to live a life nearly symptom-free. Because we firmly believe in healing and wellness for all.